or the title of the sermon, "As I have loved you and served you, go and do the same, so proving to be my true disciples." In order for us to be able to do that, we actually have to, again, always examine our purpose. And as shared with the children, I truly believe that we have a commandment to go and witness, that no one should perish. And I encourage everyone to be a part of the 2022 teams, 20 people who are willing to be on a prayer team and 22 people who are willing to be on the outreach. In fact, I would love to see a lot of those that are there at home that can't come to service or church for whatever reason. You'd be perfect to be on our prayer team. So I encourage you to call the church and say, "I want to sign up to be on the prayer team." You could do that, and we would be so thankful. But we are to be the image of Christ in order to be servants and true disciples of Christ. And the only way that we're going to be able to be the image of Christ is that we have to be able to spend time with God. We've talked about the inward disciplines, the finishing up today on the outward disciplines, and then we'll have for this next four sessions on the corporate disciplines, spiritual disciplines. But we need to be spending individual, investing our gifts, talents, time, and treasures, mind, body, heart, soul, and spirit, attitude, and behavior in our relationship with God. And as a part of that, we need to know what God's Word says. We need to be investing in God's Word. You need to be in Sunday school class or a small group. I know the Circle of Love would love to have you there, and some of these other groups that are together that would love for you to be a part of that, studying God's Word. Love to have you as a part of making disciples and thirsty, knowing how to be filled and walk in the Holy Spirit. Wonderful opportunities for you to be a part of that throughout the week. But we need to be investing in God. We need to be investing in God's Word. And then I normally would say, and invest God's Word in people. But I want to share something with you on that. You know, we could do that at arm's length, that it can get very stale. I truly believe that our overt actions in service should be investing in healthy relationships. You want to grow the body of Christ? You want to be able to be like the first generation of believers? Then in order for our church to be like that, we have to be spending time in trusting God. We have to be spending time in the teaching of His Word. And we need to be investing in healthy relationships. There's a natural thought in most people who are trying to get ahead in this world, and a lot of them would say, "I know that I will never be the greatest, but I certainly hope that I don't end up being the least." Yet, you know, you were probably looking up here at this water picture. Thank you, Sherry. Cue cards. Was that Barbara? Okay, well, anyway, thank you, whoever said that. Thank you. Tiffany, I can always count on you. Water picture. And it's interesting that if you look in John and in Mark, how Jesus, with a simple towel, a basin, and water, as he poured out water into a basin, that he changed just in that example and redefined what is true greatness. He completely redefined what leadership is all about and rearranged the lines of authority. The authority of which Jesus spoke was not an authority of manipulation or control or tyrant type of leadership. It was the authority of function and not of status. For the true disciple of Christ, the outward discipline is service. What I'm trying to always say, and I'm saying it now and I'll say it over and over and over again, it's all as we become in the image of Christ, we are experiencing freedom. Do you thirst for freedom? The Holy Spirit came to set us free, to live a Spirit-filled life. It enables us to be able to say no to the world's games of promotion and authority and manipulation and conspiring, and it gives us the joy to be able to say yes to even the most ordinary tasks. Great example of that, and I don't think Ed would mind, and that is the men on mission that go over to Harvest Hope and just deliver and pick up food for Perk. Nobody else has to know. Nobody else has to see. That's biblical service. Let us think carefully about this. The spiritual value in the act of service is very important. If you call yourself a Christian, it's very important that you contemplate and understand. Because service actually in part reveals an individual's true heart and spiritual life, where they're at spiritually. The way we love demonstrates who we are. Now, our mission statement here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont clearly mandates that we are to be proclaiming the gospel, making disciples, and serving others. But how? How are we to serve others in a way that is pleasing to God? It's in our mandate. It's our mission statement. Would you please open your Bibles? And let's look together and follow along as I read from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 17 and 31 to 35. And as we read this, we need to read it with great anticipation. Great anticipation that we are listening, we are actively listening to the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts about demonstrating unconditional love and humble service the way Jesus commands of His true followers. John chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from the Father and was going to God, He rose from supper, He laid aside His garments, He girded Himself with a towel. Then He poured water into a basin and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He girded. He came to Simon Peter and said, Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not know now, but afterwards you will understand. And Peter said to him, oh, no, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, you are not all clean. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and resumed his place, he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Then down at verse 31. Then when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God also will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me." And I said to the Jews, "So now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Verse 34. "A new covenant I give to you." This is a command from Jesus. "That you love one another, even as I have loved you." There's the standard. "That you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now I want to reiterate something. The kind of love Jesus was talking about to all of his true disciples then and now, you could find that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39, which says this: "You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, you may be saying, "Lord, I love you." And Jesus may have asked you, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" But if we look in 1 John chapter 4, it says this: "If anyone says, 'I love you, God,' and hates his brother, is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God shall love his brother also." Loving your brother and serving are like twins. They go hand in hand. You cannot serve God the way God wants you to serve him and his people and the church if you hold any resentment, any anger, any bitterness towards a brother or sister in Christ. If you do, 1 John 4 makes it clear you're a liar, because you're not loving your brother and sister as Christ loves you and commands us to love one another. Contrary to position, title, and striving for greatness in this sinful world we live in, Jesus said to his disciples, as recorded in Matthew chapter 20 as well as Mark chapter 10, "You know that the rulers of the Gentile, they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great..." You see, people in this world want to be great, but if you want to be great, "among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, herein lies the very heart of why each of us should fall down on our knees, fall down on our face, confess our sins to the Lord and to one another, repent, and then stand up to walk in Jesus' footsteps, it is because of the saving grace of the Messiahship of Jesus poured out freely upon you and upon me. Now here's a quick comparison between self-centered, authoritative service and a true Christ-like submission service. Okay? Follow along with me here. So a selfish service is one that comes from a human effort and is impressed by the big ideal. They arrogantly want to do it their way because they know what's best. A selfless service requires external rewards. A selfless service highly is concerned about results, very prideful about it, and picks and chooses when and where and with whom they'll serve. And if they are forced to it, they will rebel and ask to do something a different way or just not their way. A selfless service is affected by moods and whims, feelings. And they are very insensitive to others and demanding on others. All of which results in a fractured community by seeking self-centered attention and personal glory. But here's the kind of service that Jesus wants us to have. This is the selfless service. It's a lifestyle that comes from a relationship with God deep inside. A selfless service finds it impossible to distinguish between the small and the large service. A selfless service rests content in acts that are hidden. Acts that only God knows about. Is free of the need to calculate results by delighting only to serve the enemies as freely as they serve their friends. Did you hear that? Freedom in the Spirit is a glorious way God wants to live life. A selfless service is indiscriminate in ministry. A selfless service, serving simply and faithfully. Do you know why they serve? Because there's a need, and it just needs to get done. All of which results in building community quietly, humbly, caring for the needs of others. Now note this. Humble and service, selfless service type of virtue, it is never, ever gained by seeking it. Think about that. It is never gained by seeking it. You know why? Because it all comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing disciplines the unreasonable desire of the flesh like service. And nothing transforms the desires of the flesh like serving in hiddenness. Don't you love that thought? This world wants you to be grandstanding everything. But real humble service, selfless service, is serving in hiddenness. For the true disciple of Christ, crucifying the flesh with humility will crucify our pride, our arrogance, our rebelliousness, because those kind of things actually keep us away from totally depending upon God in our life. As a true disciple, we are God's servants. We are managers of the gifts, talents, time, and treasures that He has entrusted to us in order to invest God and His Word in the lives of others, again, so that no one will perish. As stewards, we have no rights. As stewards, we have no entitlements. But we have an abundant supply of privileges and opportunities to express Christ's exemplified virtues of loving unconditionally and serving with humility, knowing that we will be required to give an account for this someday to the Master. In a state of humility and joy, as an act of prayerful thanksgiving, here's some practical ways of service that are in obedience with God's New Testament commandment. As I have loved and served you, go and do the same, so proving to be my true disciple. Here's a couple of them. Go and do an act of service that is anonymous or a hidden act. Go and do service of small things. Go and do service of charity. How about guarding the reputation of one another? Go and do the service of being served. Wow. That's one that it was difficult for me that I'm working on. I say, Lord, I'm willing to serve, but I really don't need to be served. Go help somebody else. You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. Why would we want to deprive someone else of the blessing of serving? Submit. You could submit by letting somebody serve you. The service of common courtesy and hospitality. The service of active listening. And the service of sharing the word of life with another, even with a perfect stranger. Just share your testimony and leave the results up to God. Say, George, outreach team, make me a part of the 22. And we're going to go out there and I'm just going to share my testimony as the Lord leads. Early 20th century Scottish Baptist evangelist and teacher Oswald Chambers, best known for the daily devotional My Ultimate for His Highest, expressed his position about biblical service by saying, "Service is the overflow which pours from a life filled with love and devotion. But strictly speaking, there's no call to do that. Service is what I bring to the relationship and is the reflection of my identification with the nature of God. Service becomes a natural part of my life. God brings me into the proper relationship with Him so that I can understand His call, and then I serve Him on my own out of a motivation of absolute love." Now, here are some concluding thoughts. As you choose to serve, are you serving and acting like a servant? Or are you actually being a Christ-like servant? If you choose to act and serve, you are still in charge. You decide whom and when you will serve. You will concern yourself with who will be in charge of doing this or doing that. Oh, if it's him or her idea, or if they are the one coordinating the activity, I don't want to have anything to do with that at all. Those are kind of outward expressions of someone who is pretending or acting to be a servant. In our scripture passage for today, although the disciples did not want to have their feet or have anything to do with Jesus washing their feet, Jesus did it as a physical sign of unconditional love and selfless service. Going even further, Jesus commands us to go and do the same. I don't know how much clearer that can be. Ask yourself several questions. How does Jesus serve you in your daily life today? Are there motivations in service that lessen or damage service itself? Sometimes it's easier to serve people we know rather than strangers or people with whom we do not feel comfortable with. I'll go one step further. Are you ready? Say, Lord, give me somebody I don't really like today. Give me an opportunity to serve them in Jesus' name. And then have an expectation of transformation in your life. On the other hand, if you choose to be a Christ-centered servant, and you give up your right to be in charge, including sometimes just being quiet and just follow in submission, you choose to be taken advantage of and surrender the right to decide who and when to serve, you know what you do? You become available and you become vulnerable. One of the things that I've got to tell you that I've seen so many times in the Christian churches is the reason why we are not available and we are not willing to be vulnerable is because of fear. It's because of fear. It's the same fear that Peter had when walking on water. Jesus said, go. Come here, Peter. He stepped out of the boat. He's walking on the water. He sees the water lapping up against him, and he begins to sink. And the reason why he's beginning to sink is that he took his eyes off Christ, and he took his faith off of believing in Christ doing miracles in his life. The same thing it has to do with service. Step out in faith. Say, Lord, this week I am not going to serve anybody that I know that I'd like to serve. I want to go out and serve somebody that cannot serve me back. I need you to stretch me to what it means to wipe the very feet of a homeless person. Think about that. That's what we're called to do. Go and do the same. And Lord, I'm expecting today to have you give me one person each day for this next week. And I want to come back and give a testimony of the fact of the power of the Holy Spirit. I am freed up. I don't care what condition they're in. I am going in your name and I am expecting miracles. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to say, what makes you different? And you get to give a testimony. And you're going to lead them to the Lord. And you're going to bring them and encourage them and invite them to church. And they are going to get baptized in this church. And they're going to become members of this church. And you're going to teach them how to go and do the same. That's what making disciples is all about. There were many disciples of Jesus, but only few followed. Yet if you surrender your fears and trust God and the promises of His Word and step out in faith as a true disciple of Christ, you will experience the great freedom and joy. As you extend the same grace and mercy God has shown you in your brokenness. We are all broken. Don't you understand that He is the potter and you're the clay and we are broken. Accept that. And that brokenness gives cracks of fear. And that fear, like a disease, like a cancer, will eat your very soul. But we are in the potter's hands. And He will make us into something beautiful. Even though we're broken. You will find rest for yourself because you're walking in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis made this dynamic statement for each of us to deeply consider. Listen to this. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. It's not a double standard. It's only one standard. It's God's standard. To be a true disciple of Christ means to love others unconditionally as Jesus has loved you. Forgiving the inexcusable of the past, showing mercy and being content as the least of these in humble service to others. While at the same time, you got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus or else you'll sink. You can't serve the way God commands us on our own. You got to keep your eyes focused on Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. Now, I want you all, not only here in the sanctuary, but on also watching on the internet or on television, I want you to bow your head with me. And I ask the Lord, may this be your prayer today. Lord Jesus, as an act of being one of your true disciples, knowing it would be well-pleasing to you as I step out in faith, and go in obedience to your command. Bring me someone today whom I can demonstrate your unconditional love and model your example of true selfless service, all in your name, all to your honor, and all to your glory. For it is in your precious name I pray. Amen. Oh. please stand as you are called. If you are called and the Lord is leading you to join the church, we encourage you to come forward. We'd love to be able to have you submit a request to join our church. We'd love to have you. Or if God is leading you in any other thing, please take this time to come forward. We'd be glad to pray with you.